I'm using the lectin for the same reason that when I go to Coles and Woolies, I grab a shopping trolley, whether I need one or not. Okay, from our point of view, there was a long, silent gap between when Jesus went to the temple as a 12-year-old and gave the scholars a run for their money, or to where our gospel story begins today. As far as we can tell, and we can only assume, Jesus worked in Joseph's carpentry shop as a loving and obedient son should do. Also, as far as we know, he didn't rock the boat during that time. Nobody came to the workshop to hear him preach or teach or heal or work miracles. He wasn't confronting anybody. In fact, his life appears to be pretty ordinary. But suddenly all that changed. He left the workshop and went down to the Jordan River because word had got around that John the Baptizer was there. Jesus apparently left everything and went. And it was a journey of some 80 kilometers. And that's when the action started. He was baptized. And his life ministry, if you like, radically changed. Incidentally, he was not baptized to have his sins washed away. Why? He didn't have any. But to identify completely with sinful mankind, thee and me. And of course, straight away, Satan tried to derail this mission and put up quite a good argument too. There were ways and means by which Jesus could avoid the trauma and death that were to come. Bow down to me and I will give you this, that, and the other, remember? And after that, the action comes pretty thick and fast. He starts his ministry. Soon we've got people quitting their jobs to follow him. We've got demons screaming at him in the synagogue. He's healing people and even raising people from the dead. Then we've got the news of him spreading all over Galilee. And after that, of course, he can no longer enter any town openly because it would create a disturbance. And then, of course, he's being accused of blasphemy by the elders. And then the Pharisees and the Herodians were plotting to kill him. Now, people don't plot to kill you just because you're good. They plot to kill you because you threaten the evil that they profit from. Remember Donald Mackay of Griffiths, New South Wales? He didn't get killed because he didn't sell drugs. Lots of people in Griffiths didn't sell drugs. But Donald Mackay got killed because he confronted those who did. Archbishop Oscar Romero of San Salvador didn't get killed just because he said Mass every Sunday and cared for his people. He got killed because he confronted those who tortured and oppressed the ordinary people. He called them out, and so they murdered him. Martin Luther King Jr. didn't get killed just because he had a dream. He got killed because he confronted racial inequality and those whose wealth and power were built on that inequality and poverty. Jesus didn't get killed because he was righteous and loving and merciful. He was killed because he set about confronting and transforming in the world that was corrupt and was a real threat to those who profited from the status quo. So no more the quiet chippy from Nazareth. Jesus emerged after his baptism and became the one who had this new mission, a radical new mission to bring about the kingdom of God here on earth. Scripture tells us that thousands of people were coming to John for this baptism of repentance. Not so with Jesus. He came for something else. It was an appointment with God the Father and the Holy Spirit that Jesus came to John the Baptist. And at that moment, Jesus was anointed, ordained even if you like, to start his ministry. John the Baptist was what we might call a fire and brimstone preacher. And some people will say, oh, the good old days. He warned of an angry God who would bring down judgment on sinners. Repent of your sins and be baptized now or perish. That was John's call. But instead of that, Jesus spoke of peace and hope, using signs of grace and acts of mercy. And he gave that to desperate people and through miracles of healing for those who'd been sick and suffering. Brothers and sisters, I put it to you, the same Spirit that descended on Jesus at his baptism is given to us at ours. That is why in Acts 19 we hear of Paul actually re-baptizing a group of people who had only received John's baptism. They'd been baptized for the forgiveness of their sins, yes, baptized from something, but they hadn't been touched by the Holy Spirit and baptized into something, namely the family of God. They hadn't become a new creation of God's making. We who are baptized in the name of the Trinity are baptized into something as well. We're baptized into that same mission of Jesus. It all sounds great, doesn't it? But we tend to get sidetracked. You mightn't get sidetracked, but gosh, I do. We get tied down with other things, like the young lady before in that skit. All the goodies in the Coles bag. Let me give you a little personal example of what I mean. Some of you will know that all sorts of events have befallen the Lewis household in the last few years. In 2018 particularly, it was an interesting year. In the lead up to Christmas, we had a fire. It started at the barbecue and was all my fault, but that's another story. The fiery said that if I hadn't had a fire extinguisher on hand, we'd have lost the whole house, lock, stock, and barrel. And that really put the wind up me. Then just a week later, the whole downstairs was flooded by a blocked drain. Furniture, books, an organ and various equipment and papers and records got soaked. Quite frankly, I had had enough adrenaline and excitement to last me for some time, but it made me think, what would have happened if we'd lost the house? All the stuff that we'd accumulated for years and years, both before and during ministry. What if we were now in rented accommodation, minus most of our clothing and possessions? With the help of family, who I have to say seemed particularly keen to assist, we set about decluttering our lives. Some of the things that I'd been holding on to, we either consigned to the dump, or sold, or sent to the local op shop. I need to tell you that this all resulted in a new attitude to my life and my ministry. In short, I see in all this, God saying to me, mate, use this opportunity to refocus on what is really important to you and important to me, namely the gospel. So, brothers and sisters, I'm led to ask you this. Is your life all cluttered and gridlocked with possessions that maybe you'll never ever use? Does nostalgia have you handcuffed to bits and pieces of bric-a-brac just because they once belonged to your parents or your Auntie Ethel or your Uncle Nigel? Have you been focused on worldly dreams and yearnings that lack reality and any genuine expectation of ever coming to fruition? In short, have you been hoodwinked to abandon the true calling of your baptism to follow Jesus, to witness to the gospel, to reach out to the needy, to show forth the love of Christ to those you meet? And the answer is yes, often. And so I challenge you today to undertake a spiritual declutter, to shake off and get rid of such things. They're the enemy's distractions and toys. All worldly attachments can be lost in a moment, and we nearly did in 2018. But the Holy Spirit's gifts of love, joy, peace, etc., given to us in our baptism, can never be taken away. So as Martin Luther, the great reformer, often said to people seeking guidance, these three words, remember your baptism. Remember your baptism. Become. Amen.